All right. Well, Sunday, I shared with you that were folks that were there about a little green book, and this is the green book here, "The New Dynamic Church" by Dr. Victor Paul Werwolf, and shared that this is a wonderful resource with some great teachings in here. And so I wanted to use this in the upcoming fellowships to have as the teaching for our fellowships. And last Sunday I shared the very first thing was the ecclesia, the body or the bride. And the ecclesia is the called out one. That's the Greek word called out. And we are called to the body of Christ, one body. Now, I know you look around and there's thousands of denominations out there, right? Christian denominations and different groups. God does not see that. He sees Christ in you, period. Or you're empty. And you need to have Christ in you. And that's the one body of Christ. And I'm real blessed that in this book here, in this series of studies, he sets that as the foundation, that we are in God's family, we are part of his body, and that settles it. That's it. And so as we move, or as the author here moved on to the next series, he talks about the Christian's birth and growth. So here you got it. One body, the body of Christ. And now the next study is called the Unqualified Commitment. The Unqualified Commitment. Now, I was thinking about this word, unqualified. I understand commitment. I think we all can know what that word means, but what does unqualified, what does that mean, the unqualified commitment? So I went to the dictionary, figured instead of guessing at it, find out what does this word really mean. And there's actually three definitions that this word can be used to express three different things. First of all, unqualified simply means you're not qualified, okay? Not qualified, lacking necessary qualifications. Okay, that makes sense. But it's also used a couple other ways too. In the dictionary, it says not modified or limited. Okay, not modified or limited. And then number three, it's used as an absolute or a complete. And as far as I understand this little study, that's what it means to me. The unqualified commitment is the absolute or complete commitment. This is it. And so what is that unqualified commitment? What is that commitment that's absolute? Romans 10, 9 and 10. Here are words spoken by any individual. I don't care what their background is, who their folks were, where they came from, their history. Any person that's a person who says these words and believes them gets in the family of God. They are born again of God's Spirit. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Those words there, where you're confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you're believing in your heart God raised him from the dead, It gets you born again. It gets you saved. It gets you eternal life. It puts you in the family of God. And it's just so fantastic. I'm going to read a fair amount of this. And I'll try to, I have some things I'll put in there, but I'll hopefully distinguish between me and the book, okay? The book says, when a man confesses with his mouth Jesus is Lord, believes in his heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, God creates a new spirit in the man. The man who before this confession had just a body and soul. The moment you believe in the depth of your innermost being that God raised Jesus from the dead, you are saved. You have eternal life abiding within. Isn't that fantastic? This is the miracle of conversion, the new birth, the miracle of God whereby a man or a woman of body and soul becomes a new creation in him, thus having body, soul, and spirit. For a man to believe with his heart that God raised Jesus from the dead is believing under righteousness. Only after a person believes under righteousness is it possible to confess Jesus as Lord. Interesting comment there. In this confession lies the salvation that a man receives because he believes. I continue to read here in the book here. What does the word salvation mean? It means wholeness or soundness, mental, physical, spiritual. Colossians 2:10 defines wholeness as complete. God has made us completely complete, having all things needed in this life and in that which is to come. Now, what is? Who can read Colossians 2:10? Colossians 2:10.
And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
Yeah, that's right up there. I continue to read here. Righteousness, on the other hand, is our God-given ability to stand and walk before God without any sense of sin, guilt, or fear. Righteousness is ours because of believing, and believing only. We do not work for righteousness, for if we did, it would be something we earned. We cannot work for righteousness. We simply accept the righteousness of God as a gift. The unqualified commitment gives both righteousness and wholeness. In Ephesians 2:8 and 9 here, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then it says in Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. All born-again believers have the faith of Jesus Christ, which is the measure given to everyone when he believes. After a person has confessed with his mouth the Lord Jesus and has believed in his heart that God raised him from the dead, he is a privileged son of God with access to all his promises. All born-again believers have a legal right and opportunity to receive what God has made available. All have the right, same righteousness, the same amount of faith, and the same perfection before God. Do you believe that what God has promised, he is able to perform?
Yes.
If you do, you will see mighty signs, miracles, and wonders in your life. You must believe that God is not only able, boy, this is key, that God is not only able, but also willing to perform what he has promised. And just a personal side note here, you know, we know God is strong. He's created the heavens and the earth. But what's he going to do for me? What's he going to do for little old me? And that's where we got to recognize God's willingness, his willingness. And not only is he able, but he is also willing to do what he has promised in his word. And that's where we've got to grab our believing and say, thus saith the Lord, no matter what we're asking God for, whatever promise that we're going to him and looking for him to work in our life. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption through his blood according to the riches of his grace. Do you believe God is rich in grace? Mm-hmm. Yeah, for God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. Would you call that rich in grace? Yeah, I would. Ephesians says that we have received redemption, so we don't need to beg for it. The only thing we must do is receive it. Quotes Colossians 1:13 and 14, who hath delivered, past tense, us from the power of darkness and has translated, past tense, us into the kingdom of or by his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If God has delivered us from the power of darkness, that is the power of Satan, how can we be under his sinister power any longer? If we have been delivered, why look further for deliverance? Why wait for deliverance when it's already has been available? Satan has no legal rights over a believer because all believers have been delivered from Satan's power through Jesus Christ. That settles it, doesn't it? You don't have to go to court on this or anything else. Have anybody else say anything more about it? It's what God's promised in his word. What God accomplished for us when he rescued us from the power of Satan, we can appropriate to ourselves when we believe. So the next time you get sick, say, look here, headache, cold, or whatever negative symptom you may have, you have no power over me. You were defeated over 1900 years ago. It says so in the word, and I believe the word. Therefore, be gone from me. When we have salvation, we have wholeness, even physical wholeness, if we simply accept it. Wow. We have nothing to stand upon. We have nothing to stand upon for our completeness except the revealed word of God. When we stand upon the word, we have only one way of life, and that is the way of Christ Jesus. In him we have wholeness. And it says 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, believing not by sight. When you belong to Christ, you are a son of God. The moment you become a son of God, you become heir to everything that God has made available. Romans 8:17, for if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. How can you then, as a Christian, talk negatively? How can you continue to be full of fear? How can you go out in the community and act like you are defeated? You are not defeated. Satan has been defeated, and the power of God is in you today. Hallelujah. Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Do you want your body quickened, made alive, vital, spry? The word says if you will make the unqualified commitment of confessing Jesus as your Savior and Lord while believing that God raised Jesus from the dead, not only are you made alive spiritually, but you also Your physical body is made alive even now. Since you have the Spirit from God within, you are righteous. You are no longer separated from God. After God gives all this, then you have a responsibility. He says you are to be renewed in your mind. Ephesians 4:23 and 24. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You are not only to be born again of the Spirit from God, but you must change your thinking patterns. And then Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Change what you put in your mind. To change the food you are sending to your mind is to renew your mind. Think those things which are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. If you by your free will accept Christ as your Savior and renew your mind according to the Word, you will find that every word I have written to you is true. I challenge you to stand upon the Word of God. Declare your authority in Christ and claim your rights. The Amplified Version translates a verse in Romans so vividly. And this is Romans 10:11. The Scripture says, no man who believes in Him, who adheres to, relies on, and trusts in Him, will ever be put to shame or be disappointed. That's the Amplified. Let us make our unqualified commitment. Let us confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead. We will never be disappointed. Mm-hmm. Isn't that fantastic?
Amen.
Yeah, isn't that a dynamite sharing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's only the second one in there. So, yeah, I encourage you to, if you got the green book, you know, dig it out and check out some of these teachings. They're really dynamite, really good stuff, really good. You know, it's the Word. That's the bottom line. It's either the Word of God or it's not. And that's what we want to believe, is God's Word. And it's a challenge. I get it, but it's still true. No matter how much we're challenged, no matter what we're going through, it's still true. Still true. All right? Okay. Well, Father, thank you that you love us so much that you've given us your wonderful Word, your promises. You've given us eternal life, a salvation that is so full and rich. We're so thankful and grateful, Father. And I pray for each person here that on the conference call line that they can just hold dear the truth of your Word and believe it and stand on it and confess it and be it, so that we can just walk for you in all the glory and all the majesty that you would have us to do. We love you, Father, and thank you for calling us to your family. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.